You are listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
All right, good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Wellness Wednesday here on KYUK. I'm your host, Alyssa Lachlan, and I am the Wellness Programming Producer here at KYUK. And joining me today are Donna Bean and Tammy Kayboard from the Alaska Public Health Nursing. Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
All right. We might have lost Tammy. I'm just going to give her a call back real fast. But while I do that, Donna, would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, sure. Yeah. My name is Donna Bean. I am a registered nurse. And I actually began my career out in Bethel in the YK Delta. I was there 3 years, 2016 through 2019. And I am currently a nurse consultant with the State of Alaska Section of Public Health Nursing, Anchorage now. Hi. Did you guys get back on?
Hi, this is Tammy.
Hey, Tammy. I was just giving my introduction. In my time out in Bethel, I worked a lot with tuberculosis, and I was actually back there this year for 5 weeks, from the end of March to the beginning of May, helping with TB and some of the initial COVID response. And now I work here in Anchorage to help manage the contact tracing around the state with our partners through UAA, the Municipality of Anchorage, and others. And I also worked with many of the fishing industry and Aleutian chain communities in their response to outbreaks in those industries.
Very cool. Tammy, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tammy Covered. I'm one of the public health nurses at the Bethel Public Health Center. I was here about a year ago, for about a year in 2016. Before that, I was a nurse at Kenai Public Health, and then I came back a little over a year ago. So for the Bethel region, I've been here a little over 2 years, and I'm very happy to be here today with Elle and Donna.
Thanks. We're really glad to have you. So at the end of our show today, we're going to have time for you guys to call in with your questions. I know that it's been a really big time for COVID recently, especially with yesterday's 78 new cases. That's a new high for the YK Delta in a single day. 29 communities, not including Bethel, have been affected by COVID-19 and this pandemic so far. And just as a reminder, all of the resources that we speak about today are going to be available in the show notes at the end at kyuk.org under the Wellness Wednesday tab. So I thought, since Donna kind of touched upon contact tracing, we could talk a little bit about what contact tracing is exactly and what it looks like in Alaska and in the YK Delta specifically. Donna?
Yeah. Let's see. Contact tracing. Well, I think an interesting aspect of living through a pandemic as a public health worker, and Tammy, let me know if you feel the same, has been that before we were sort of invisible. Every time I introduced myself as a public health nurse, people were like, what? So you work in a hospital? No, I don't work in a hospital. I work on prevention. And now people are very, very aware of what public health is. And so that's great, because maybe now people really realize it's important. But contact tracing is a key component of infectious disease public health work. We've done contact tracing for tuberculosis cases. We do contact tracing for sexually transmitted infections and notifying contacts in those instances. And so we're doing the same thing again. It's an tested and true tool of any public health worker. So contact tracing has been really important in identifying the spread of a disease. So basically, when you get one person, let's say, they have COVID-19, and they live in a home with five other people. So once that person has tested positive, let's say they started feeling sick, they test positive. Contact tracing requires that we identify all the people who have been around them for more than 15 minutes during their infectious period, less than 6 feet away. So then we notify all those people, they quarantine and get tested, and if we lock it all down fast enough, if we let those people know quickly enough and they don't expose anybody else, we can shut it down. And that is the hope. But contact tracing, we have a ton of workers. We have hundreds of people working around the state to notify. But the really key component of contact tracing is the participation of the folks being notified. So if we call you and ask you to isolate yourself or quarantine yourself, it's only going to work if you actually do that and stay home and stay away from other people and wear a mask. So, contact tracing is what we have going for us because we don't have a vaccine or a cure. And so we're going old school. And really need everybody to pitch in because it's the public's health. It's our community, not just an individual.
Certainly. Yeah, thank you. I know that my roommates and I have had to quarantine from being close contacts from our service sites. And I know it's really difficult, but I think it's definitely important, especially as cases are on the rise. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, 78 new cases were announced in the YK Delta alone yesterday on October 20th. And last week, KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur spoke with Dr. Ellen Hodges at YKHC, and she called the Delta's numbers reaching something that we could consider the pandemic coming out of control. So there's been a lot of legislation passed recently. The city of Bethel requires that everyone coming in through the airport is tested, and also that masks are mandatory in public spaces, but they're not always being enforced. And I think that that's something that we need to keep in mind when talking about masks. I know that we have spoken about how important they are a little bit on the show. First, I want to kind of go into testing. Donna, you spoke a little bit about being a close contact, and I'm assuming that those people should get tested. But who else, Tammy and Donna, should be tested, and what does testing look like, and when should people be getting tested?
Yeah, so, I mean, we can get real in the weeds with this or not, but the basic test we have available is what's called a PCR test, polymerase chain reaction, tests for bits of the viral RNA. So what that entails is a nasal swab, and if anyone has been tested, a lot of people have said it tickles their brain, they saw God. It's not as intense as there's plenty of YouTube videos you can watch, that's the best swab is the one that's nasopharyngeal that goes all the way to the back, or oral pharyngeal that goes all the way back to the back of your, where your nose and the back of your throat meet. There are nasal swabs where they just, go into your nose where your finger would go if you were picking your nose. So those are two different ways of doing it. There's a lot of other tests being developed, but that's what we've got right now. And there's different, rapid tests that ideally same day, but within a few days you would get results. I sent you the testing site locator website. If you're anywhere around the state, there's different, free testing sites at the airports. I know that if you're an Alaska resident, there's free testing. Tammy, in the YK, I'm assuming it's Bethel Family Clinic and YKHC doing testing.
Yes, and they are trying to meet every single flight, YKHC. It's an extremely difficult goal, and they've been doing a fabulous job, so we're so thankful to them to get everyone tested who would like to participate as soon as they land. If they have a negative test within 72 hours or proof that it's pending, then that's okay. They can bypass that, but it is the Bethel City mandate.
And an important point I'd like to make about testing is that testing is really only good for giving you information up to that point. So if I get tested today and it's negative, it does not mean I'm in the clear for the next 2 weeks. If I'm a close contact, let's say yesterday I hung out with somebody who ended up being positive and, you know, we were in the same room together watching TV, and then today I test negative, that does not mean I can go out and do whatever I want because I'm negative. It means today I'm negative. But this virus takes 2 to 14 days to build up in your body enough to either show symptoms or to show positive on a test. So that's why we ask everyone to quarantine for 14 days to make absolutely sure. I have seen, I haven't seen, but I've called a lot of people since March and interviewed them when they tested positive. And a lot of people test positive on day 13, 14 of their quarantine. So it does happen. And so it's really important to get tested again at the end of your quarantine so that you know for sure that you are negative.
Absolutely, yeah, and just making sure. I know that sometimes the tests aren't always the most accurate, so it's always good to have a backup test to make sure that everything is really going smoothly and you really are safe to go back out in public so you're not spreading it to others.
Yeah, and a lot of folks don't feel sick. I've talked to a lot of people who've tested positive and they don't have symptoms, but that they are still able to spread it. So even if you think you feel fine, but you've been in contact with someone, please go get tested.
Definitely. So testing is one way that we can kind of curb the spread of the virus because it gives us a certain degree of certainty in terms of knowing whether or not we are a carrier of COVID-19. But there's a lot of other things we can do to make sure that we're preventing the spread within our communities. There's a lot of different preventative measures. So YKHC recently encouraged people not to have any gatherings, even outside, that aren't with non-household members. And why is it so important for us to limit contact with people outside of our households?
Yeah, Tammy, do you...
Yeah, I think it's because of, yeah, thank you.
Sorry.
She mentioned a lot of people don't have symptoms. And I've also found the same thing when speaking with contacts and doing contact tracing. You know, I'll speak with the same person for 13 days in a row. They feel great. They feel fine. And then on day, you know, they're just about to come out and they start to feel ill. So you just don't know. You can't tell. Somebody may seem, they might feel the same way they felt for the last 6 months. They don't think they have anything whatsoever and they could be positive. And the virus, you know, one thing I hope people remember and why we say it so often, please, please wash your hands, wear your mask, stay 6 feet away, if the minimum 6 feet away, if you can stay further away, especially like if you're exercising or breathing heavily, that's great. But the virus has to find a way into the body. It can't just land on your pants and work its way in. It's got to get into your eyes, your nose, your mouth, if you have cuts. So that's why we keep saying, please wear your mask. Stay away from people. Don't let that virus have a way to get into your eye or your mouth or your nose. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. And a lot of times I think we forget the don't touch your face because the masks have a tendency to shift when we're talking or walking. And so it's just human nature. We reach up and grab our mask and move it, and we don't want to do that if at all possible. Try to keep your hands away from your face. Wash them if you have to, or use hand sanitizer. And it's funny, you get used to wearing your mask. Now I feel almost strange if I don't have my mask on. I wear it so often. So it is something that you will get used to.
Yeah, definitely. I think that those are all really important. I'm not sure if we completely touched upon why it's important to limit our contact with other households. I know there's a lot of like a domino effect, but I'm sure that you guys have much more formal or better language to explain why it's important to keep our circles small during these times? If someone could touch on that, that would be great.
Whatever language gets the point across is the best language. Yeah, I mean, you may have heard Dr. Zink and just the messaging about social bubbles, social circles, whatever it is you want to call it. The less people you expose yourself to, the less risk you are to them and the less risk they are to you. It goes against our nature as human beings because we are social creatures. We like to hug. We like to visit with people. We miss people. If you don't have good cell service, if you don't have data to do Zoom or video chat, you're just gotta be on your own. And that's really, really hard. I have had a rough time. Luckily, I have a couple of roommates that I can, so I can interact with people. But it's difficult. So it's okay to acknowledge that it's hard. If you can talk to someone on the phone, do that. But it's really important to stay away from people because if one person in your house, if your little sister goes and hangs out with one of your cousins in another house, that is a link. And so now everyone in both those houses is a contact. So it's really important to make sure that everyone is staying home as much as possible. Hopefully that will be easier when it's cold. Yeah, we see the same thing with other infections like flu and tuberculosis. Same sort of ability to spread within households, especially in the winter. So being careful in the winter is going to be really important.
Definitely, yeah. I know it's really difficult. I know I've had a really tough time not seeing people just like you, Tammy, but luckily I do have quite a few roommates that I can interact with. And I know that if we curb this sooner rather than later, then things can get back to some sort of normalcy with more speed. But we have to be really careful. And speaking about being really careful, I know that Tammy, you spoke a little bit about making sure we're washing our hands and continuing to disinfect, but a lot of YK Delta listeners might not have running water. So what can people without running water do to disinfect and protect themselves from COVID?
Yes, there is on the CDC website, and YKHC also has it on their website. There's a formula if you just have household bleach. There's one for disinfecting, and then there's also one for just daily use where it's 1 teaspoon of bleach per half a gallon of water. So 2 teaspoons if you have like a whole jug, like of, you know, you drink all your milk and then you can fill up the jug with water after it's been cleaned. You would put 2 teaspoons in there. And then you can have 2 basins, one kind of with soapy water and then one as your rinse water with the bleach, but never put soap into that one. That's a really good idea, and it's, can be difficult out in the villages. When I've spoken to people out there, they say the bleach just flies off the shelf. As soon as it gets in, it's gone. So I know the village leaders are aware of that, and they're trying to get it in so people can use these interventions. And, you know, everybody's doing the best they can, and we're just so thankful that they are and appreciate everyone's efforts that they're making.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Tammy. Now moving on to non-COVID illnesses that can still be passed around. It is flu season, and while the YK isn't seeing as many flu cases as we usually would around this time of year, it's still important that we're protecting ourselves and taking all preventative measures against flu as well. So would either of you like to just talk about why it's so important that we're still paying attention to flu season and getting our vaccines and being careful about that virus as well?
Yes, the flu vaccine is extremely important always. People don't realize how deadly influenza can be. We have many, many people that die every year, unfortunately, from influenza. and it's a vaccine-preventable illness. We have a huge event coming up Saturday that I'm super excited about. YKT is hosting a mass dispensing flu event again. We had one on the 3rd, and now the one on Saturday, October 24th, is going to be from 10 to 2, just right across the street from the hospital at the COVID-19 testing site. And you'll be able to go there. Please have your mask on. Whether you have a vehicle, you can go through the drive-through, or they will also have walk-ups, and you'll see the area. It'll be marked for where you can go to walk up. And the reason why we're stressing this so greatly this year is we don't want to overwhelm our healthcare system. And you can see that with the surge, how quickly that can happen. And the flu is dangerous. People can get very ill from the flu, and they will be needing those hospital rooms that we really would like to have in reserve if we have continued spike of COVID patients. And then we also want to help our physicians who are exhausted at this point in the game. We don't want them to have to look at both illnesses and try to, because they have the same symptoms. You know, we if someone's vaccinated, that kind of helps when they're determining what's going on. And treatment also, you know, we don't have much that we can do. So any proactive attempts that we can make to help mitigate this, they're just so worth it in the long run.
Certainly, yeah. And because flu presents itself a lot like COVID, it's also easier to spread COVID if you're coughing or you have a runny nose or you have just germs all around you because of the flu, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And another disease that's pretty prevalent in the YK Delta, unfortunately, is tuberculosis, which Tammy, I know you have done a lot of work with here in the YK Delta, and Donna, I know you have previously done a lot of work with tuberculosis and tuberculosis patients. So can you just explain why it's still important that we're paying attention to that and what might be made a little bit more dangerous because of COVID?
Yeah. So tuberculosis is a bacteria. The good thing about tuberculosis is we do have treatment. We have antibiotics and we have testing, and we have a way to treat it and cure it. However, tuberculosis is a bacteria that likes to hide. There's a lot of latent TB, so we call that TB that is dormant or sleeping in your body. And so if you had TB infection a long time ago, or you were exposed to someone with TB, if you have no symptoms right now, we would call it latent TB. So it's somewhere in your body. But if you get sick again from another disease, anything that could weaken your immune system, so it could be a heart issue, it could be the flu, it could be pneumonia, it could be COVID-19. If you get sick enough, TB will reactivate in your body. So you could, just like Tammy said with the flu, you could have COVID-19 and tuberculosis. So that is a real risk. And tuberculosis is actually more, its official route of transmission is aerosols or aerosolized, meaning you just have to be near someone who is talking, singing, yelling. It's arguably more infectious. And so when we do work with tuberculosis, we wear special N95 masks to prevent breathing it in, because the main transmission route of COVID-19 is droplet, which requires you to be close enough to sort of breathe in those droplets. It can be aerosolized, but TB, the main route of transmission, is aerosolized. So you could just breathe it in. You don't have to be that. There's not the same limitations on it as our exposure definition for COVID-19. So if you have two of those, you'd get pretty sick. So it's really important to get the flu vaccine, to wear a mask, to socially distance, and go get a TB test get a PPD if you can at the clinic. The YK Delta has a long history with tuberculosis since the 1950s and 1940s, actually. There's a video that Public Health has about history of TB in the YK Delta. We still have the highest rates in the state, entire state of Alaska, and Alaska has the highest rates in the entire country. So, please make sure that you're getting screened, you're getting vaccinated for flu, and you're taking all the preventive measures this winter.
Okay, guys, you heard them. All right, so it's time for us to open up our phone lines. If you have a question for anyone here, please give us a call. Our numbers are open at 543-5985 and 1-800-995-8954. So if you want to call in, use those numbers, or you can give us an email at radio@kyuk.org. I'll be looking at those two, and I can ask your questions there. We already have our first caller. Hi, welcome.
Hi, good morning. This is Susan, and Susan Taylor. I remember Donna from when she lived here, and it's exciting to hear her voice again, and I'm glad she still has Bethel at heart. Mm-hmm. My question is, I'm looking at, I'm not going to mention the company, okay, but there's a particular restaurant and a particular church, crowds of trucks and cars there when they're doing whatever, you know, when they're open, and when there's a church service, and there's lots of people, and there's no way they can all social distance in that building, even if there was one person per vehicle. And I drive by and I see that, and it just makes me nervous. And to this day, I believe that's still going on. And it's a particular restaurant. I think the listeners know which one. And it's a particular church, and I'm sure the listeners know which one. Because you drive by and it's along a common drive road. So people see that and they know something, you know, and this is not the time to do those things. It really isn't. And it's kind of like the chain is as strong as its weakest link in a lot of ways. And we are a community and we need to look out for each other. And this is the way to do it. Plus protect ourselves. Anyway, I'll hang up and hear your comments on what can be done about that. It's, you know, we live in a democracy, so I guess you can't really enforce, but I'm just really worried. All right, thank you.
Well, this is Donna. I don't live in Bethel anymore, but yes, I still do have Bethel at heart. And that sounds like, it sounded like you all have the Bethel City Council has passed a few mandates. I don't know, Tammy, what those entail.
Well, we've got the travel quarantine and testing and then critical personnel. As far as gatherings, I think it's, you know, follow the recommendations of keeping, same thing we've been talking about, keeping your bubble small. We would never recommend going to a restaurant. You can order takeout, which is great. All of our restaurants have been amazing. They're delivering. The grocery store is delivering. The food bank's delivering. I think everybody's trying their hardest, you know, to do their best.
And I think also just thinking back to how we were talking about close contacts and opening up your circle, if you're going to a restaurant or a church service, that's about 20 to 30 other people. And if they're all in contact with 20 to 30 other people, it's just multiplying exponentially. And that can be really, really dangerous. And COVID can spread really easily. You might not have any contact with someone who is at an extra risk of being exposed to COVID, or certain populations are especially vulnerable. And you might not have a contact with someone like that, but there's a lot of elders in our community, and we need to make sure that we're keeping everyone safe. So I think, thank you, Susan, for bringing this up, because it is a really important thing to make sure we're keeping our circle small and we're not going out in public. And go ahead.
Sorry. One thing I do tell a lot of, I did work for the last year down the Aleutian chain, and island communities are somewhat similar to Bethel because you've only got airline travel. That's the way in and out. And so if weather is going to hold you down, I've been stuck. I got stuck in Scammon one year for like 9 days because it was February. So please remember that if you get sick, if you're in Bethel and you're not social distancing and you interact and you end up being positive and someone else is positive and it gets into the village, the only hospital in the region is in Bethel. And there is no intensive care unit. And it's the same with clinics down the chain. It's the same in other areas. Even here in Alaska, or here near Anchorage, places like Whittier and Girdwood, they're an hour out from Anchorage, an hour out drive. And there's nothing but a clinic. And so there aren't ventilators. There's emergency services. But if you need ongoing intensive care unit support, you're going to have to come into Anchorage. And so thinking about all those plane rides, thinking about weather with the winter coming in, like it's really, really important to keep in mind that people can deteriorate very quickly, especially if they have underlying health conditions with this infection. And so getting people to the care they need is not going to be as feasible as here on the road system. So please be mindful of that as well.
Yeah. I'll give out the phone lines again. We're available at 543-5985 or toll-free at 1-800-995-8954. Thank you, Donna, for bringing that up. That is really important to think about because there aren't as many resources, which can make it even more dangerous. I think that's something that people really should be keeping in mind. But we can keep talking while our phone lines are open. I thought we could talk about moving forward and things that we can think about for the future as we kind of adjust to this new normal that is the pandemic, as we wait for a vaccine and just to make sure that we're doing everything safely. So do you guys have any self-care tips for people who are in isolation, especially as we go into the winter, things that people can do to make sure that they're keeping safe?
Well, of course, we would always promote a healthy lifestyle, you know, keeping yourself hydrated, especially in winter, eating a healthy diet as best you can, trying to get a little bit of sunlight, if you know, outside of your house. It's really tough in the winter, I know. You can still socialize over the phone. I know GCI has really good service. I never have a problem with mine. I mean, perhaps I've just been lucky, but to do video and contact in ways like that. But even just a phone call out to another family member or a friend in town, that connection is very meaningful, I think, for people. And it is difficult. We are going to start gathering more and more inside right now. And I don't think that's unusual for our region, though, with our harsh winters. That's something that happens. So we're probably a little bit more skilled at how to deal with that than maybe others in the nation.
Yeah. I think I struggle with this myself as an individual. I think that with the darkness, making sure as well to take vitamin D, if you've got that. I know I bought a sad lamp, but that wasn't cutting it. So vitamin D, most people in the United States don't have enough. And in Alaska, we are usually we're deficient. So if you can see what levels you have, if you are able to go to a doctor or a clinic, if not, you know, finding a safe dose to take, but making sure that you get enough vitamin D because that will help with your spirits, but also your immune system, as well as vitamin C if you can. So, like, fruits and vegetables are really important. I know it's hard to get fresh ones in Bethel, let alone in a village if it's further out. Frozen is totally fine, even canned fruits and vegetables, as long as you're getting some access to vitamin C. And yeah, if you are able to handle the cold outside, interactions are going to be best. But if you're going to be inside, just staying within your family unit, your social bubble. And if you can find a hobby like knitting, or reading, we're going to all, see what this winter ends up being like. It's the first winter of the pandemic, so.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a little bit difficult, but I think that we're all pretty creative and we'll be able to figure something out. We have an email, so I'll just read a couple of the questions as they go on. There's quite a few here. What is the capacity of the local facility, I'm assuming YKHC Hospital, for COVID patients? Because they mentioned the 8-unit infusion unit at one time. How many respirators and oxygen machines are available? And is there adequate staff here to monitor and intubate patients?
Honestly, those are all questions I think that would be best addressed by YKHC. I don't know if you know, Tammy.
I don't. Sorry.
I have pulled up here the latest COVID data from Alaska.gov. There's currently 793 out of 1,400 beds in the state of Alaska. So that's more than half of the beds are currently being taken up. But that's also COVID and non-COVID patients. In terms of intensive care unit beds in the state of Alaska, there are 135 currently being used and occupied out of 203. And the ventilator capacity for the state is 356, but there are 38 people occupying ventilators at the moment, and this is both COVID and non-COVID patients. So if you do have any of those questions, certainly direct them to YKHC. I will leave their contact information in the show notes as well. And if you go to the KYUK website under the Wellness Wednesday tab, all of this information will be available there. So, yeah.
No, Elle, thank you for giving those statewide statistics. And I think I just want to use that to highlight over half of those ICU beds are taken, right? And we're right at the beginning of winter. And there are other people who get in car accidents or who have heart attacks or who have severe pneumonia, and they're going to need to be in those beds. It's not just COVID. So please, I know there's a lot of negative information, you know, and it's overwhelming, but keep factoring that into how you protect yourself and your community is really important.
Certainly, yeah, especially as the cases are rising and it's flu season and all of these other things are really going to put a strain on our health services. And it's important to remember the health of those essential workers, our nurses, our doctors, our emergency care physicians. All of these people are very important to us, and we don't want to be getting them sick if there are things that we can do to prevent getting them sick ourselves. So things like washing our hands frequently, wearing our masks, not having large gatherings, those are all things that we can do to make sure that we're doing our part to curb the pandemic. Another thing I thought we could talk about, do either of you guys have ideas for how we could stay active and connected to others? Because, as you said, it's getting colder, and we're going to be spending more and more time indoors, but we aren't going to be able to have the same gatherings that we used to.
Yeah, this is a doozy. I know a lot of people would look forward to spending time with people indoors, but we can't mix our social bubbles like we used to. And so it's like you said, I know the people of the Delta and Alaska in general are really resilient, so we're going to have to find a way through this. I've started embroidering again. I bought some cross-country skis. I know that that's not always feasible for everybody. I mean, you can go ice fishing. I'm open to hearing what other people's plans are, but it's going to be a difficult winter, and so just making sure that we stay connected in whatever way possible, even if it means the phone or, checking in on elders seeing if they need help getting their groceries delivered, but just leaving it on the doorstep, just making sure that we take care of each other and check in on each other the safest way we can.
Yeah, I agree. I think those are some really great ideas. Tammy, do you have anything that you think our listeners could be doing to keep safe and sane?
Yeah, I think something that we maybe don't realize is to pat ourselves on the back. I mean, I am just so amazingly impressed with people. I mean, we're how many months into this? I mean, gosh, I think our epidemiology gang in Anchorage started in December, January to start really closely watching this virus. And we're now into October, and the population has been dealing with everything that every, you know, new direction or guidance we give them, and they're so resilient. I mean, everybody is just saying, okay, we can do this. We're doing it. And I don't know if people realize that you're doing it. You're doing so good. I'm just so proud of everybody. And I think that is a way of being connected to your larger community, your nation, the entire world, is that this is unprecedented. We're going through this amazing experience that's incredibly hard, but we are doing it. You know, we're succeeding. We're getting there. So, just be kind to yourself and, you know, appreciate how much you've gone through and realize that if you've made it this far, we're going to make it the whole way. We're getting there. It's just kind of 1 month at a time, but we're going to get there.
Thanks, Tammy. Yeah, I think that's a really, really good thing to think about, especially in terms of getting over that hump. I think while we're getting there slowly but surely, it's also important to remember kind of what cases are looking like. I'm just looking at the state of Alaska's dashboard again. There's been 11,393 total cases of Alaska residents, and 6,042 of them are recovered. So that means that about more than 5,000 people currently have active COVID cases within our state. And that's a little bit scary just to me, because that's about half of our cases. So it really is important to be taking all of the things that we're talking about today into account as we continue to move forward and we continue to go about our day-to-day lives. And if anyone would like to call in with ideas about self-care or what you think KYUK could do to help in terms of activities and on-air programming, especially for Wellness Wednesday, I'd love to have some ideas. You can give us a call at 543-5985 or at 1-800-995-8954. You can also give us an email at radio@kyuk.org just to get some ideas out there. Yeah, do you ladies have anything else you'd like to touch on today?
Yeah, I would just like to say that if you do get a phone call from a contact tracer, please be honest with them. It's really important for us. I know it sounds, they ask a lot of questions, but it's really important for us to get as much information as possible about where you were, how you feel, and all those things, because we need that information to trace people and to get the people who are contacts into safety. Once you've tested positive, we will monitor you, and we know about your case, but where contact tracing really does its work is with contacts. And so we need to monitor the people who are contacts. We need to make sure that they're doing okay and get them tested and get them educated. So if you could just please make sure to participate in contact tracing as best as you can, get that information to a contact tracer, because we want to stop the spread of COVID-19.
Definitely, yes. Honesty is always the best policy. I also have a little bit of an update on the YKHC ventilator and capacity. We have 5 ventilators here through the Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation as of March 31st. That was the last time we had updated our information. We published a story in late March with some of this information and the capacity, which again will be linked in the show notes. But we have another caller who I would like to welcome on. Welcome. I guess we didn't have another caller. Maybe they'll call back. But, yeah, just to keep that in mind, we are currently admitting COVID patients to YKHC's hospital at the moment. But, again, with only 5 ventilators, that's something that we should certainly be keeping in mind. Here's our caller again. Hi, welcome.
Yes, that's a radio call-in show. I've got a question.
Sure.
After the callers that are the ones that got tested for positive results, can they go back to the clinic and retest again after 1 week or a week and a half?
Yeah, thank you for that question. So if you're a contact and you get tested on the first day of your quarantine, if you can get tested after 1 week on day 7, we encourage that. Most people who it's about 90% of people who will test positive convert in the first week. So if you can get tested on the first day, day 7 and day 14, if that is available to you, and making sure to stay in quarantine.
Okay, so that's one of my questions I wanted to call in for. Okay.
Great. Did you have any other questions for today?
No other questions. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Okay. And as a reminder, I'll just say them again. Sorry if I'm sounding like a broken record. 543-5985 or 1-800-995-8954 are the numbers you can reach us at. Tammy and Donna, if we don't have another caller soon, we can probably wrap things up unless you guys have something else you'd like to mention or things you wanted to bring up that we haven't spoken about yet on the show.
I just would like to remind people about the flu event on Saturday, this Saturday from 10 to 2, right across from the hospital. I'll be out there, so I'd like to say hi to everybody from, 6 to 6 feet. I hope everybody can come out and get their flu shot from 10 to 2 on this Saturday. And also, I forgot to say earlier, for the villages and the sub-regional clinics, they have their own hours. I believe the sub-regional clinics are 12 to 2, and the villages that are able to participate are 12 to 3. But YKHC has a great website, so if people just check that, you can see when everybody's going to have availability for testing. I'm sorry, for giving vaccinations on Saturday.
Shots can be fun. They're very necessary. I'm also looking up that information right now, so I can give some of that over the air. But Donna, did you have anything you'd like to add?
No, just I really appreciate being invited to speak on this. And if you feel free, if anyone wants to shoot me an email, my email is donna.bean@alaska.gov. If you have any other questions that you didn't want to voice on air.
Okay, I am slowly pulling up the information about our next flu drive-through, is what they've been calling them, which I thought was really fun. I know I got mine on October 3rd during the last event. I just walked up, they gave me my flu shot, and then I got to go home, and I knew I was vaccinated, which was really great. So I can read out the flu shot times in Bethel. It's here. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the hospital park, in the CHSB parking lot, which is across from the hospital and where all the COVID testing is done. Subregional clinics are from 12 to 2 p.m. Those are in Aniak, Emonic, Hooper Bay, St. Mary's, and Tuksuk Bay. And then village clinics are from 12 to 3 p.m. And I'm just reading at the bottom. It says flu vaccines have been distributed to all village clinics and will be available by appointment at village clinics. So if you're unable to get to a mass dispensing event in your village, you might have the opportunity to make an appointment, and you can call YKHC to do that. So remember to get that flu shot. Okay? And that is one of our reminders. And the other is, if you have any questions about today, you can give us an email at radio@kyuk.com, kyuk.org, wellness@kyuk.org, or you could visit our show notes, which are available at KYUK under the Programs Wellness Wednesday tab. And for all updates on things COVID in the YK Delta, KYUK is posting daily updates on COVID counts and cases. We also post pretty frequent stories, and we also do interviews with health professionals in the region, and also have more coverage on the pandemic generally in Alaska and in YK. So thank you so much, Tammy and Donna, for joining me today. It was an absolute honor to get to talk to you guys, especially right now with everything that's going on. And if you guys don't have anything else, I would like to thank our listeners for tuning in, our callers and our emailers for emailing in, and I might just close us out.
All right. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone, and we will see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. for another Wellness Wednesday. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Wellness Wednesdays on KYUK, a show about the health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m.